This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today's epistle lesson is surely short, but it teaches us a lot. It's very important for us to understand, especially even about things like the small catechism and the Lord's Prayer. The words are this: we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet is without sin. Do you understand what these words mean? First off, we take from these words that temptation and sin are not the same thing. There is a distinction to be made. Temptation is the pressure to give in to sin. Sin is the following through. It's the actual giving in, going against God's word. And second, we learn that even though Jesus was tempted, just like you and I are tempted, in fact, even more intensely than you and I are tempted, even though that happened, Jesus did not give in. He did not sin. Though he was tempted just like you in every possible way, he remained holy and pure. Now that's almost beyond our comprehension, isn't it? Because we're no stranger to giving in to sin. We sin day and night, by what we've done, by what we've left undone, just like we confessed a few minutes ago. And we give in to sin because we're ultimately giving in to temptation. Satan is constantly seeking to lead us away from our Lord Jesus Christ, to teach us to worship something else in his place. We constantly feel the pressure to give in to a word that is not God's word, that is not true or good or wise. We're constantly tempted to give in to a word that's a lie. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation," because we know that temptation will daily be a part of our lives as long as we're here in this fallen, sinful world. We will be tempted, and we will give in to temptation. Now, there's something more you need to know. Let me be very clear about it. God tempts no one. I mean, think about it. The temptation that we have does not come from the Lord because the Lord does not want us to fall away from him. He does not want us to sin. He does not want us to give in to what is wrong, to what is untrue, or to what is wicked. Rather, the Lord desires that we return to him, that we hear his word, that we are his children, that we receive his grace and mercy. He desires that we repent. He does not tempt us in any way, shape, or form. In the small catechism, instead, we talk about where our temptations come from. The devil, The world and our sinful nature, this unholy Trinity, is what desires to lead us away from God. It does so, and it brings us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. We say these words in the small catechism, but we often don't think about what they mean. What is false belief? False belief means exactly what it says, to believe something that is wrong, that is opposed to God's word. For example, in our world today, there are many people who have false belief in regard to baptism. It comes in many different ways. Perhaps they say that baptism does not save you. Perhaps they say that baptism is your work, your confession of faith to God. Perhaps they say you should not baptize infants. Only people who have decided to follow Jesus, who have invited God into their hearts, should be baptized. There are even those who say that for a baptism to be valid, the person must be completely submerged in the water. If you only sprinkle it on their foreheads, as we do, that it doesn't count. All of these things are false belief because they do not match what God's word says. We are tempted to believe them. We're tempted to give in to these false beliefs and thus to fall into sin. Dear friends in Christ, this attack is after us constantly in our lives. False belief, and also we are tempted to give in to despair. What do we mean when we say despair? Well, this also happens in several ways. For example, we are tempted to give in to despair when the devil tempts us to believe things like this, that our sin is too great, too big, too terrible, too horrible for God to ever forgive us. There are people out there who have given in to this temptation, who despair of God's love, who say to themselves a word contrary to what God actually says. There's no way I could be forgiven. There's no way that I could be saved. And so they despair. The despair shows itself perhaps by them living it up here and now today, for tomorrow we die. Eat, drink, and be merry now, because hell awaits. Or maybe they despair in a different way, with tears and sorrow seems to be unstoppable. Dear friends in Christ, we are tempted to despair. We're tempted to give in to that sinful word that is opposed to God's word, to not look to Him for mercy and grace. The Catechism says also that we are tempted to give in to great shame or vice. Shame is an idea that is not well known in our modern day and age, but it's the feeling that you had when, as a child, your mom or your dad caught you doing something they had told you you should not do. Perhaps it was coloring on the wall, or playing baseball in the living room, or not turning in your homework. When you did the thing that was wrong and your mom and your dad caught you and you knew that you were caught, you felt shame. That's why you looked at the floor instead of at your parents. That's why your shoulders hunched over and you kicked the ground with your toe. Adults still have this feeling. You still have this feeling. But our modern world has trained us to do one of two things. First, to ignore our shame, or second, to flaunt it publicly so that other people will reaffirm us in our sin. You see, these things happen in our society. And they are done so that we might ignore our sin, so that we might avoid the feeling of shame living for today and ignoring God's word. Satan and our sinful nature and the world also tempt us to give in to what the Catechism calls vice, habitual wrongdoing, habitual degrading of things to yourself and to others. You know what vice is because you all have it, as do I. These things we are tempted to give into each and every day, and we do give into them. We fall away from the true faith. We sin daily and much, greatly and often. We give in to temptation. That's why we pray. That's why we read God's word. But did you hear what our epistle lesson for today says? Jesus is tempted just like you and I, but is without sin. He's tempted to false belief. He's tempted to despair. He's tempted to give in to shame and to vice. He has all the same pressures that you and I face, but he hasn't given in to them, not even a little bit. In fact, he cannot give in to them, because it would be untrue to who he is. He is God's only Son. He delights in his Father always, in all ways. He always believes the truth based solely on God's word. He never despairs because he always remembers God's promises and love. He's never ashamed because he's never done anything wrong. He's not even ashamed when he's stripped naked and hung on a cross. He's never committed any sin, let alone fallen habitually into sinful vice. He's holy. He's perfect. He's good. He's true. He's faced all the same temptation, our epistle lesson says, but is without sin. In fact, the truth is, he's faced more temptation than you or I have, greater temptation than you and I have, and has not given in. It's like this. Imagine three people who are having a contest at recess, hanging from the monkey bars. Whoever hangs there the longest wins the competition. The first little boy hangs there for 2 minutes, and then his muscles in his arm are quavering and shaking. He can't keep his hands closed anymore, and he slips down to the gravel beneath. The second is hanging there for longer, For 10 minutes he makes it before he too finally gives in, succumbs to the weakness of his own nature, and falls also to the playground. But the third, he hangs on and on and on. Even as his muscles grow weak, he does not give up. Tenaciously, he faces the challenge, never giving in. Of these three, which one faced the greatest temptation to let go? Which one of these three felt the fullness of the competition? Which one of these three never gave in? Even though, as time went by, it got more and more difficult. The third one, right? The one who never let go. That one, the one who faced the whole test but never gave in, if we're talking about temptation and sin, is Jesus. Look at our gospel lesson. Satan personally went after him with the very best temptations he could come up with, but Jesus never gave in. Christ, at that point, also was already weakened. He'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And our Gospels say, in the understatement of the year, he was hungry. But Jesus did not give in. He didn't budge. He told Satan where to go. He did all that God the Father demanded him, enduring to the end. Maybe the hanging from the monkey bars seems like a silly example, but consider Christ's next temptation and greatest temptation depicted before you in our sanctuary. When Christ hung naked on the cross, bleeding and dying, he had been falsely accused with the sins that you and I actually commit. He had been stripped of all earthly possessions, even his clothing. His friends had abandoned him and left him alone. He has nails beaten through his hands and feet. Crown of thorns beaten into his brow. He's surrounded by those who mock him and who tempt him to come down. If you are the Christ, come down and save yourself. Christ faces all of this temptation as he even bears the entire wrath of God over sin. But he does not come down. He carries it all. He does not give in to the temptation to save himself, even though he has that power. As he himself says, he could call a whole legion of angels to come and fight for his release. He could speak a word and the nails that held him up there would disappear. If he could heal a man lame from birth, or blind from birth, or who could not hear, do you think he could not also heal his own wounds? But he doesn't. He does not give in to temptation. He carries it all without his sin He carries it all for you. Christ's holiness, His purity, His goodness, it's all for you in your place, delivered to you here through word and sacrament. So the author of the Hebrews says, draw near to Jesus. Repent of your sins. Repent of your giving in to temptation. Repent of ignoring God's word. Repent of your false belief. Repent of your shameful acts. Repent of your wanton sin and vice. Repent and believe in Jesus, who bore all your sin for you. Draw near with confidence to receive the mercy of God. Draw near with confidence and eat His body and blood, pure and holy and perfect, for forgiveness of sins. Draw near with confidence and remember you are baptized and that your sin has been washed away. Draw near with confidence, for we do not have a great high priest who offers himself on the cross, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are and yet is without sin. In the name of Jesus, amen.
That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it." God's blessings on your day.